Brochen and Beis Knesset of Paris, and ultimately rejects that answer. The Maskana Vesugia is in the Machabot, the Kitashanim and Ikar. Let's go back to the previous answers. But in the course of the discussion of that potential answer to the Stira, the Gemara launches into a discussion regarding the Machlokis as to whether or not Yerushalayim is Nischalka L'Shvatim or not. If we assume that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, so then it would follow that Yerushalayim is not mitamei b'negayim. If we assume that Yerushalayim is nischalka l'shvatim, then it would follow that it could be mitamei b'negayim, because with respect to tumas negayim, we have a principle. It has to be beveis eretz achuz aschem. It has to be a place that belongs to you, that belongs to every single, the owners of the property. It has to be an ahuza, something, that area that was distributed for Yerusha purposes. And if Yerushalayim was not distributed for Yerusha purposes, that it's something meant to be shared equally by all of Klal Yisrael, didn't have a distribution, then it doesn't count as Beis Eretz Ahuza Aschem, and therefore it would not be Mitame B'Negayim. And the Gemara discusses what would be another ramification of this idea. So the Gemara has the halacha that mentions, quotes a brisa, the Tanya ain maskirim batim b'Yerushalayim v'fisha ainah shelahen, that the Tanu that says this is machlokis, in other words, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that the Chachamim say that in Yerushalayim Matam ben Agayim, and Rabbi Yehuda says in Ilo Shemati el Makom Mikdash Bovad, that only the Makom of the Beis Hamikdash itself. So first the Gemara, when it was trying to give the answer of explaining that this Machlokis is along the lines of the Machlokis where the Bate Knesos, the Bate Midrashos, Matam ben Agayim, and to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then we would say, if it would be a base Knesset shel Krochim, that it would not be Mitame B'Negayim. So we had to revise Rabbi Yehuda's answer to say, Anilo Shemati Elamakom Mekudosh Bilvad. By the time we get to the end of the sugya, we don't have to revise Rabbi Yehuda. We could just understand him Kipshuto, Anilo Shemati Elamakom Mikdash Bilvad. That somehow Rabbi Yehuda says only the Makom Mikdash is not Mitame B'Negayim, but Yerushalayim is Mitame B'Negayim. And the Chachamim hold that Yerushalayim itself is also not Mitame B'Negayim. So the Gemara says, so the Machlokis is with respect to whether Yerushalayim is Nischak L'Shvatim or not, and then brings different illustrations of how this principle would be applied. So one illustration is with respect to that it has Choshen Mishpah ramifications, the Tanya Ein Maskirin Batim B'Yerushalayim. That the Tana, namely the Chachamim, who hold the Yerushalayim on his Kaklish Batim, but going along the lines of the Brisa that say, Ein Maskirin Batim B'Yerushalayim. Why? The Fisha Eina Shelahed. Because it doesn't belong to the owners. It belongs to everybody. Nobody can claim individualized ownership with respect to the Batim, to the homes of Yerushalayim, to the residences of Yerushalayim. And then the Brisa quotes Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon, different Gersos, Ome Aflomitos, that the mitos, the beds also can't be rented. That seems a little strange. We can understand that the batim represent the karka. The karka isn't owned by anybody, but bed is just the furniture. So the Tosas Yishanim explains, according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, so that when we say the bed, it means the person doesn't really need the bed. They need the makom of the bed. They need the place of the karka that where the bed occupies. Beds don't get moved so much. So really, when he includes the mitos, he means, because what's essentially is being rented out is the makom of the mitos, is the karka that goes underneath the mitos. So that's why he adds mitos as well. And the fikach seems to be going on him, since nothing can really be rented. So let's say somebody has a place in Yerushalayim and they want to rent it out. So the fikach always catch him, so the landlord would have the practice, at least according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, that the landlord would have the practice of taking the oros kachim, of taking the skins of the kachim that the visitors would be offering while they were in Yerushalayim. They would bring korbanos of Beis HaMikdash, so they would have skins. So Bali Yishbuziknin, notlin osan bizroa. So the Bali Yishbizin would, the landlords would grab the skins. So Amar Abayis, Abayis says, Shemamino, Achara, the Mishpah, Kinesh, Gopha, Mashka, Lushbize, that it's proper to leave these types of things, to leave leather, skins, that to bore one's landlord, that's considered to be good manners. Okay, so that's one ramification that we find in the sugya. And the other ramification is whether the area of the Beis HaMikdash itself was distributed between Shabbatim. According to the Tanya that says, Yerushalayim Nischalka L'Shabbatim, so then it would follow that the whole area of the Har HaBayis was split between Chelek Shel Yehuda and Chelek Shel Binyamin. Mahaya Bechoko, that would be consistent with the Tanya that says, according to the Gemara, Mahaya Bechoko Shel Yehuda Har HaBayis Lishkos Ve'Azoros. Yehuda had, Sheva Yehuda had the Har HaBayis and the various chambers of the Beis HaMikdash and the courtyard. Umayya Bechoko Shel Binyamin, Ulam Behechol Beis Kodshei HaKodshim, and Binyamin had the really holy parts, like the Beis Kodshei HaKodshim. And then there's this strange gerrymandering with respect to the Mizbeach itself, since the Mizbeach was supposed to be Kulo Bechoko Shel Binyamin. This was something which was very Kodesh, Ulam Mehecho Beis Kodshei HaKodshim, but in the southeast corner of the Mizbeach, it really technically would have been Chelek Shel Yehuda, and there was just this tiny little ritzua that came out. And Binyamin, Shevet Binyamin, was very upset. Says Binyamin HaTzadik was very upset when he saw that this little corner was going to go to Yehuda. Says that's what it means when it says in the Torah, Chofei Palav Kol Hayom, right? Lepikach Zocha, Binyamin HaTzadik, Benaseh Shpizchanan LeGevua, because Shenem Obeng Sefar Shachain, the Binyamin wanted this piece so badly that Binyamin wanted to swallow it up all the time, but wasn't able to swallow it up. However, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that there was one ramification in terms of the way in which the Mizbeach was built. The Mizbeach had a Yesod going around it, and the Gemara says in Daf Nun Gimel in Zevachim that the southeast corner didn't have the physical Yesod, because, and we find that this is because the entire physical Mizbeach needed to be in the Chelek of Bin Yamin. And if there would have been a physical structure there, then part of the built Mizbeach would have been in the Chelek of Yehuda, since that was the southeast corner. So therefore, that corner was left empty. Now, what do we find? We find that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with respect to the Makom HaMikdash. Now, why would this be? Why would Rabbi Yehuda agree with respect to the Makom HaMikdash? If we have this basic machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which explains why one would hold that Yerushalayim is mitamim b'negayim, and namely the Rabbi Yehuda, and one would hold Yerushalayim is not mitamim b'negayim, it's not based on tzachus haschem, namely the Chachamim. So that should include the Makom HaMikdash as well. Makom HaMikdash also then is not nischalka. We mentioned over here that the one ramification of the machlokes is how the area of the Har HaBayis and the Beis HaMikdash is gerrymandered between Yeshiva Yehuda and Sheva Binyamin. So why make an exception with respect to the Makom HaMikdash? So Rashi says, because David HaMelech collected from all of the Shvatim, it could be originally, it was Nischalik to the Shvatim of Binyamin and Yehuda, but then when it came time to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech collected from all of the Shvatim to purchase the Garin from Arona HaYavusi, in which the Beis HaMikdash would be built. So since he collected the Kesef from all of the Shvatim, so that unified everybody. So this, therefore, even the Makom HaMikdash became, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, became the property of everybody, and that's why it wouldn't be Metamei B'negayim. Tosas in Baba Kama says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's because the Medrash has different explanations as to why, how Yerushalayim, assuming it was originally split, how it would have, how at least the Beis HaMikdash area would have become unified. And he says, because we find in the Medrash that Binyamin was paid off for their portion from the Doshna Shel Yericho, from the fatty portions of Yericho, they were paid off. So he says they were paid off in exchange for the area to go to everybody. But Tosfos says that according to the Chachamim, that would not be good enough. In other words, that only works according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a Sifrei that also indicates that that kind of svara would only work according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Chachamim, even if it was, let's say that it had originally been Nischalka L'Shvatim, originally the area would have been Iskalik to Binyamin and Yehuda, and then afterwards people would have been paid off, or money would have been collected from all the Shvatim to build the Beis Hamikdash. It wouldn't have changed the status according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, the status would all depend, this is Tosis of Baba Kama, Dachpei Beis, Amar Beis, the status would all depend on what happened in the beginning. Was it Iskalik at the beginning, or was it not Iskalik at the beginning? If it was Iskalik at the beginning, then to Yehuda and Binyamin, the fact that everything was equalized afterwards would not have changed the status or the stature of the Beis HaMikdash area. So the Chidushei HaGris has a discussion about this. The Brisker Rav in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in his discussion about the Gemara in Baba Kama, so he talks about what the understanding is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but what would be necessary in order for any of these areas, the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, to be viewed as unified. He points out that the Sifrei, and we find this in the Avos Rabbi Nosson as well, that I have in the materials, but the Sifrei notes that there's a contradiction between two psukim in Parshas Re'eh that gives us some insight with respect to this issue of whether or not Yerushalayim is Nisqaq al-Shvatim. One pasuk says that you can't go and just bring your korbanos, your offerings, or worship Hashem anywhere, and you know, do like the idolaters. You go to the place that was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikol Shiftechem sounds like this place, this holy place that you're going. Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. This holy place comes from Mikol Shiftechem. It's not specifically assigned or designated to any particular shevet. No, it's Kol Shiftechem. And then there's another pasuk in the same parsha, in Re'ei, it says, Kim b'makom ashir yichar Hashem, be'achad shevatecha sham taleh olosecha. It says, be'achad shevatecha, that it is a place of one of your shvatim, that there's this place that you're supposed to be, your kabanos. This is a place that was designated, that was assigned, allocated to one particular shevet. So it said, which is it? Is this a holy place? Is this holy place a place to one shevet? Or is this holy place a place where all the Shvatim are unified together? So the Sifrei has two different answers. So one answer is HaKesef Mikol HaShvatim, the Kesef was collected from all of the Shvatim, meaning that initially, really the place was designated to one Shevet, to specific Shvatim. And then afterwards, the Kesef was collected from all of the Shvatim. Beis HaBechira Mishevet Echad. And originally, however, the Beis HaBechira was assigned to one Shevet, and then, sounds like afterwards, they're talking about different historical periods, it was unified through the collection of the Kesef Mikol HaShvatim. The Sifrei says explicitly, this is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is what have ramifications with respect to the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Namely, the forget Yerushalayim, assume, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yerushalayim for sure was assigned to all the Shvatim, but was assigned to specific Shvatim according to Rabbi Yehuda. But the Beis HaMikdash was also assigned to a specific Shvatim. However, in the end, it became Mikol Shivtechem when the Kesef was collected from all of the Shvatim. Then the second answer that's given by the Sifrei is, when it says Be'achad Shvatecha, it's Shiloh. So that's Shiloh. Shiloh was in a portion that belonged to one of the Shvatim. But when it says Mikol Shivtechem, so Yerushalayim. Says Mikol Shiftechem, so that's referring to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Mikol Shiftechem, not just the Beis HaMikdash. All of Yerushalayim plus the Beis HaMikdash is Mikol Shiftechem, it's all unified. So that is the teretz according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, there was no allocation and then revocation of the allocation. There was never an allocation. It was always the entire area, Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, was always given over to everybody. It was never specifically anybody's domain. It was not Yehuda's domain. It was not Binyamin's domain. That would appear to be the Pashtus. So explains the Brisker Rav that according to the Chachamim, the whole din of how I understand whether or not Yerushalayim, when it's Niskalka L'Shvatim, is a din of Chalukah Sa'aretz. It's a din. Was the Chalukah Sa'aretz to everybody? Was the Chalukah Sa'aretz initially to specific Shvatim? If it was the specific Shvatim, that's not something that can ever be changed, because that is a metaphysical notion, or that is some type of an official divine allocation that can never be altered. If it went to Yehuda and Binyamin, it would always remain that way. Rather, it never went to Yehuda and Binyamin, it always went to all of Klal Yisrael, whether we're talking about Yerushalayim, whether we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that money was collected afterwards, that's a din of Mamonos. The Mamonos can change the metaphysical allocation of the land to a specific Shevet. So nothing would have been altered as a result of the Mamonos. From the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, however, from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, the first one was the perspective of Chacham, the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, the mamonis would affect the designation. It all depends on mamonis. So from a mamonis perspective, originally there was a specific allocation, presumably of both Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash allocation changed. It changed as a result of the mamonis, when the mamonis was collected from everybody, so that the Beis HaMikdash received a different status as a result. He brings an interesting proof from the Makom Shel Mizbeach, and this part of the... Yes?
Is the machlokes about chalukas ha'aretz, like what happened by chalukas ha'aretz, or what's necessary, let's say, for din about chazastam, or what's necessary for all the other nafkaminas the Gemara says?
Hapipashtus, the machlokes is about... No, both things. It's about what happened with Chalukas Ha'aretz, and it's also Machlokas about what's necessary, right? That according to the Chachamim, what happened with Chalukas Ha'aretz is that there was no Chalukah, and according to the Chachamim, what was necessary as well is that it be a din of Chalukah as opposed to a din of the Ksafim that are collected. Even if, let's say, there had been a specific designation at the beginning, and then the money would have been collected afterwards, so then the din would not change. It would still be considered to be, according to the Shitas Chachamim, it would still be considered to be the Makom Binyamin, it would still be considered to be the Makom Yehuda. His proof, though, is a little confusing.
Is that because there was this other thing about this, what you're calling metaphysical allocations? Can't change that with
Dine Mamonis. That's what it sounds like. That's what he's saying. The Dine Mamonis is sort of a different realm. Dine Mamonis
can't
factor in.
So Rabbi Yehuda
is
saying, no, the Dine Mamonis can change that, or he's saying there was no other thing?
Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, Dine Mamonis can change that, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that originally there was a specific allocation that still counts for Yerushalayim, but there was a change with respect to the Beis HaMikdash, because with respect to the Beis HaMikdash, it was Kesef that was collected that changed things. That changed the din of whether the Beis HaMikdash could be Metam Ben Gamil. Shemanu Ela Makom Mikdash Bilvat. So he obviously held that that did change the din. Now he brings a proof from the Makom Shel Mizbeach, which he says, it's still considered to be Makom Shel Tov. You'll say, the Psukim in the Torah says that Baboka Yochal Ad, it sounds a little bit like in the Chelek of Binyamin, the way the Targum speaks about it, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, that's the way the Pasuk is interpreted. So he says, yeah, that was the Makom of the Mizbeach, which is always called the Makom of Binyamin. We see that any money that was collected didn't change anything, it's always considered Binyamin Zev Yitrof. The Boka Yochalat is still considered, the Omeyat still considered to be the Chalik of Binyamin. Nothing ever changed. That's a little bit confusing, because it sounded like he was saying that there was never an allocation altogether to Yehuda and Binyamin, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, and therefore that's why the Chachamim hold that both Yerushalayim based on Mikdash is never considered to be Nisqaq or the Shvatim. But then in the end, it sounds like maybe he's saying the Mizbeach is different. Yeah, there was never an allocation when it comes to Har HaBayis. There was never an allocation when it comes to most of the Beis HaMikdash. But when it came to the Mizbeach, maybe there was. I didn't see anybody say that explicitly. It sounds a little bit from the Lashon of the Chidushei Agriz. He doesn't elaborate. It sounds a little bit like maybe he's saying that. Now, the truth is, maybe it's not so wild. Because if you look in the Avos Rabbi Nasan, the Avos Rabbi Nasan deals with the same stira. If you take a look at source Chof, the beginning of page 4, the materials. I don't know if anybody has the materials. Okay, so the Kasuv, people have it. They have the handout. Yeah. Okay, so the Avos Rabbi Nasan quotes Kasuv Echad Omer Bechad Shvatecha Kasuv Echad Omer Mikol Shiftechem Bechad Shvatecha. Neither of the answers to the Sifrei. Bechad Shvatecha Zu Shevet Yehuda Minyamin. Bechad Shvatecha means yes, there was some sort of an allocation of the land to Yehuda Minyamin. Mikol Shiftechem Zu Yerushalayim Shekol Yisrael Shutvin Ba. And because Shiftechem, that's referring to Yerushalayim. So it sounds like he's saying a little bit in the opposite direction, that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and this could be a Lipa Deshitas Chacham, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, there for sure, in that specific area, there was an actual allocation. That it was so ordained. Binyamin Yochal is a Zevi Trafa Boki Yochalat. It was so ordained that Binyamin would get the holiest of the places, and Yehuda would have the surrounding places in the Beis HaMikdash. But talking about Yerushalayim, nah, Yerushalayim was never allocated to anybody in particular. That's Kol Yisrael Shutvin Ba. That's considered to be an ultimate partnership of all. It's not even a partnership. It's just a free for all, basically, of all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody is considered to be partners. They're considered to be equal heirs. to the land. They have equal rights, equal participants in the land, and therefore it's not considered to be subject to chalukah at all. Everybody has the right to everybody else's place. It's all completely shared. It's almost as if you take the Avos Rabbi Nosson literally, and you understand it only really makes sense according to the Chachamim, that would turn Rabbi Yehuda's shita on its head. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our sugya would come out that Yerushalayim is nischalkel l'shvatim. And originally the Beis Hamikdash is nischalkel l'shvatim, but you know, in the end, whether I understand like Rashi, Arona Yehusi, I understand like Tosfos, Doshna Shel Yericho, a trade was made. So then it was equalized, and therefore that's why it's no longer Mitam and Benegayim, and that's why we would say that this is no longer subject to this rule of it being allocated to everybody. Well, when it comes to Yerushalayim, yeah, that has a specific allocation. While on the other hand, when it comes to Chacham, they say, no, exactly the opposite. Someone with the Beis HaMikdash, that's Be'achad Shvatecha, that is allocated specifically to Yehuda Binyamin, that's what Be'achad Shvatecha, specific Shvatim, means. And when it says Mikol Shiftechem, so that's referring to Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim is the only place in this equation which is not subject to an allocation, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash. It sounds almost as if it would be an absolute reversal of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, that's a Chiddush. Doesn't seem Pashup Shat that way in the Gemara. The Gemara just has sort of a straight discussion, right? At least our Gemara and Yuma has a straight discussion saying whether we're dealing with the monetary laws of Yerushalayim, Maskim Batim Yerushalayim, whether I'm dealing with the way that I understand the breakdown of the Mizbeach area, the Beis HaMikdash area, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is equally applicable. Either you hold this Loni Skakel Shvatim with respect to both Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi the Chachamim, you hold it, or is this Skakel Shvatim, and maybe, you know, the din of the Beis HaMikdash changes because of some subsequent historical event, which would be the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a question. How do we understand the Gemara's application of the Machlokes to the Makom HaMizbeach, which is further fleshed out, as we mentioned, in the Gemara in Zevachim, where, you know, Rashi quotes from the Targum, and the Gemara elaborates in Machlokes Rav and Levi, when we say, the Gemara there says that there was this one little area, the Yesod, what would have been the Yesod, the Karen, Mizrachis Deromis, that didn't have a Yesod on it. Does that mean because we needed to gerrymander it in a way that it wouldn't go into the portion, that the none of the Mizbeach would be in the portion of Yehuda? So does that mean that there really wasn't physically one, or just Bedomim, it wasn't there? The Machlokes Rav and Levi, Pashup Shad of the Maskana Susugia is that the Psukim the way that it would work in terms of why the Gemara says you couldn't have an application of the Dama Ola, you know, with respect to four corners of the Yisod, because he didn't have four corners of the Yisod, is like Rav's understanding that there was no physical structure there, and I need to understand it that way according to our Gemara, based on the Shita that holds that Yerushalayim Niskalkel L'Shvatim, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that there was a real allocation with respect to that area. But there's a complication in terms of how the Rambam paskins. So the Rambam seems to paskin like all of the ramifications of Yerushalayim Niskalkel L'Shvatim. We have not only our examples in our Gemara of the Malkum Beis HaMikdash and of Ein Maskimin Batim B'Yerushalayim, but we have the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis speaks about Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Yerushalayim, 10 different laws that are stated in Yerushalayim. And many of these laws that are stated in Yerushalayim relate specifically to this idea of Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, that Yerushalayim, for example, can't become an Ir Nidachas. Why can't it become an Ir Nidachas? Because it says Arecha. And if Yerushalayim was Loni Skalka, then it's not a Recha, it's not your city, it's not a city that belongs to anybody. You can't have an Egla Rufa, and be an Egla Rufa for Yerushalayim, because it says, Ki Matzei Kaleba, the Kaleba, the Mashi, Hashem Lokecha, Nosem Lecha, the Rishtah, and there's no Rishtah, there's no Nachla when it comes to Yerushalayim. And the Rambam, in the Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yudal, Paskins, like all these things, he says, Ve'ena Bayis Nechlepa, Ve'eno Mitamim Benegoyim, Ve'ena Nases, Ir Nidachas, all of these laws are applicable to Yerushalayim because it was not Niskalka L'Shvatim. So Rambam clearly paskins on the one hand that Yerushalayim was not Niskalka L'Shvatim. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Beis HaBechira a little bit earlier in Perek Beis Halacha Yud with respect to the physical composition of the Mizbeach. So Rambam paskins Yisod HaMizbech lo yamaki b'amar v'choso k'mor. So that the Yisod HaMizbech, the first Amar from the ground, did not go around on all four sides. So the higher Yisod HaMishok Neged Kovuch Tzafon Ma'arobi v'ochav Dorm Achas or Mizrach Amar Achas. It had a blank, empty space on the southeast corner. Ken Dromis Mizrachis lo hayelo Yisod. So this only makes sense according to the way we're learning. If you paskin that Yushalayim is the Skakal Lishvatim, if Yushalayim is the Skakal Lishvatim, so I understand it's divided between Binyamin and Yehuda, at least as an initial Kaluka. So you know that still you know remains active on some level, but that only makes sense according to everything that we've been saying up until now. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, everything we've been saying according now, because if you hold like the others to Rabbi Nosson, I don't have a problem. But otherwise, this would appear to be a contradiction. Truth is, if you look at your Gemara, Tosos Yumadaf, you base them. And now Tosos points out the contradiction. Tosos says, I learned the Gemara in Zvachim, and Nun Gimel. The Gemara in Zvachim doesn't seem to make the composition on the Mizbech Toloi on whether you shlime is Skakli Shot or Lunis Skakli Shot. Seems to hold it. This is just the way it was. This is the way it was. I have a discussion whether it was, you know, Bibinyan, Bidomin, but everybody seems to agree it was necessary to have a blank space on some level with respect to the Kerem Mizrachis Deromis. So how does that shtim with the Shitas Chachamim? Maybe Shalayim Lonis Kakal Ishvatim. So Tosos provides a completely different answer. Tosos says, you know what? One explanation, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so you would say it's because we needed to gerrymander the Mizbeach. But if you hold like the Chachamim, so it's a Xeris HaKosuv. Halki Gemiri. I'm a Pasuk. I call B'Ksav Hashem Olai Yiskil. That everything was directed, commanded by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Mizbeach had to be built just so in a particular way, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, for whatever reasons, decided that there's going to be an empty corner with respect to the southeast corner. It's nothing to do with Yehuda, Binyamin, anything else. This is the way that the Chachamim would understand it, that it absolutely has to be that way. However, it's not how the Kesef Mishnah understood the Rambam. When the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam, Hilkos Beis Sevachira, Perek Beis Halacha Yud, this is source test of the materials, he says that the reason for it is, the Kesef Mishnah just says very innocently, just says, I mean, Kavin Mizrach is Dramis Lohai Lo Yisod, my time, Sam Rami Laz, the Bish Lohai Sevachoko Shatorf, because it was not in the Chalik of Binyamin, the Amma Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Mizbech Ochel Vachoko Shayhuda Amma, that with the quotes the Sugya says that the reason why there was no Yisod in Karen's Mizrachi Sedromis is based on this division between Binyamin and Yehuda, that the Mizbech needed to be Bechoko Shel Binyamin. Xavier Sokosu was supposed to be in the Chalik of Binyamin, and in order, since that corner, that Amma, was in the square Amma, was in the portion of Yehuda, so that's why it wasn't allowed to, that's why it couldn't have a Binyan. He explains that within the Rambam, which would be the explanation if you held that the area of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, and the area surrounding the Mizbeach, was subject to an allocation between the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, which would seem to be, according to the opinion, that Yushalayim is Kakel Shvatim. So again, we could say that this is consistent with the way the Abbas, the Rabbi Nosson, teach the two different psukim. We could say, according to the Chachamim, really it's the reversal of Rabbi Yehuda, that that the Beis HaMikdash had a special status, that really it was divided, and Yerushalayim wasn't divided. So we could understand that way. That certainly is not the way that the Tosfos understood. So there are two other answers that are given in the Mefarshim, probably more, but I'll give you two different mahalkim as to how else we can reconcile the steer in terms of the Pesach of the Rambam. One is from the Chazon Ish, and the other is from the Rav, possibly from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, as related by Rav Shechter. So the Chazon Ish in Skidushim Anuma, this is in Simon Kuf Chav Vav Sivkat and Ches, really brings a stira not from the Rambam, he's a stira from stronger stira from Tanakh. He says, "What's this business that you're going to, you know, Paskin Yerushalayim on Yisrael Kolishvatim?" And we're going to assume that there was never any kind of allocation between Yehuda and Binyam. The psukim, I'm a furish against this. And he quotes a whole bunch of psukim. Right? So, somebody has to learn Tanakh. He says that we have a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. Says Esa Yevusi Yoshve Yerushalayim Lo Yaklu Bnei Yehuda LaHarisham. You see that the Bnei Yehuda were trying to drive out the Yevusi. Why? Because this was their portion. That the Yerushalayim was the portion of Yehuda. Otherwise, why would they be driving? Why would they be in charge of driving out the residents in order to take it over? And it similarly says later on Perak Yuches, or Yevusi he Yerushalayim, Zos Nachlas B'nei Minyamin, that we see part of Yerushalayim, which it says explicitly, was the Nachlas B'nei Minyamin. You can argue with a pasuk, you know, Dovim Mefurish B'kra, and he quotes a pasuk from Shoftim, Besa Yevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim Megomer, and he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, in Ayin Ches, V'yivka Shev Yehuda is Har Tzion. So we have a whole bunch of psukim that indicate that the Yerushalayim Tzion was intended to be divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, that this was their portion. So therefore he says that really there's no machlokes at all with respect to the Kinyan HaGuf. He says as far as the Kinyan HaGuf is concerned, we're talking about the monetary possession of that land, yes, monetarily. This is very different from the Briska Rav, obviously. It says that monetarily, the land was certainly given to Yehuda, Binyamin. They had the monetary, the Kinyan HaGuf. However, what's the machlokus about? The machlokus is about whether or not there was nishar zechus l'chol Yisrael. And according to the Ma'andam Aloni Schalke, haina shenishar zechus l'chol Yisrael. If you hold Aloni Schalke, it means that even though, yes, it's true, it's Yehuda, Binyamin, so that just means you say thank you. When you're using the land for your own purposes, so you turn to Yehuda and Binyamin, or the real owners of the land, you say, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. We have the schus to use this land. We know it's really your land, but of course, Baruch Hu gave us all the schus to use it. Therefore, you can't rent it out to us. Therefore, we all have equal rights to it. Therefore, it's not really Eretz Achuzaslem. Therefore, it's not really Arecha. Therefore, it doesn't really have the practical laws of a land which is specifically occupied exclusively by any particular shevet, because lemaise everybody has the schus to use it. Umandam and Ischalka, and the shita, namely of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Yerushalayim is Nischalka l'shvatim and is divided and allocated specifically to the shvatim. So that what that means is that not everyone agrees that of course Yehuda and Yamin have the king and a goof. That's not a question. But that mandam is of the opinion Nischalka lo nishav schus lo yisov Yerushalayim. That the rest of Yerushalayim, they don't even have a schus. They don't have a schus to use Yerushalayim. Because of the fact that Yehuda and Binyamin have the property rights, because they have the king and a goof, therefore they have the right to say, everybody away, that keep out, that this is our space, this is our residential territory, and therefore you're not allowed in here, unless we give you, we rent it to you, you pay us rent, you know, then that would be perfectly okay, like any other possessory interest. But that basically, according to the Chazon Ish, that is the basic mahalach. And therefore, it's possible for the Rambam, on the one hand, to paskin Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. The shvatim means everybody has a schus. But on the other hand, yes, of course, in terms of the king and a goof of the land, when he's talking about, yeah, there was a certain portion of the Beis Hamikdash area that below that there was Yehuda's portion, there's a certain portion that was Binyamin's portion when you have the Mizbech, and all that. So that makes perfect sense because that never went away. There was never any dispute. There was never any disagreement with respect to that nakuda. And this gave Binyamin, he said, was the Sechus Maktish. Yeah, even if it's a Binyamin, let's say at the end of the day, took the Doshno Shel Yericho, so Binyamin still had the Sechus Maktish to say there's to be Maktish Shehuik Disham Bishvil Atzibor, to say, okay, so you gave me something, so then because this is mine, so I'm Maktish there so that everybody would be able to benefit from the, would be able to benefit from the use. That's the basic mahalach with respect to from the standpoint of the Chazon Ish. Now the approach of Rav Soloveitchik, as explained by Rav Schechter, you find this in Eretz HaTzvi, in the article Yerushalayim L'Nischalka L'Shvatim, is that there are two different types of kinyanim with respect to Yerushalayim. One is a kinyan iser, and one is a kinyan mamon. And when we say that Yerushalayim L'Nischalka L'Shvatim, means specifically in terms of the kinyan mamon. So that's, of course, very much the opposite of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is saying, yeah, it was the kinyan mamon, but everybody, you know, had a schus. The idea of Yisrael and Yisrael Yisrael just means everybody had a schus, but of course, you know, the kinyan mamon certainly belonged to Yehuda and Binyamin. According to the Briska Rav, the Briska Rav would say that what it means when it says Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim is that there was never a chalukah altogether when it came to Yerushalayim, and that's what it means when it says lo nischalka l'shvatim. Not that there was some sort of a chalukah, there was some sort of a designation. He says no, if Yerushalayim, when we say Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, that means specifically with respect to the Kinyan Mamon, but as far as the Kinyan Isser is concerned, if there was some sort of a Kinyan Isser, and that's what we talk about when we say that there is an allocation, that there was some sort of division that went to Yehuda and Binyamin. Only a Mamonus is there no chalukah? And he says that where do we find this distinction? Where do we find that there is some sort of a divide between the way in which there would be a that the mamonus and the iser components of the land? So he says, if you look at the way in which the land was generally divided amongst the Shvatim, so when there was the initial division of the land, it had to be done. This is a quote, a Ravid, which is born in the Shita Mekubeshes Baba Basa Daf Kuf Kapa Aleph. The Ravid says that the initial division of the derives from the Gemara there, and the initial division of the land to the Shvatim had to be done a pia goral. So that's already a very heavy-duty divine ritual process that would be in the realm of Issur V'Heter. And then, when every single Shevet received their respective portion, so then it was, originally required Urim Mitumim. It required the Urim Mitumim. That's the heavy-duty process. And then, in the end, when every single individual Shevet allocated amongst its individual members, so that could just be done with Goral. But Goral is more of a regular monetary Kenyan. But the Urim Mitumim, you'd have the Urim Mitumim, they would have to, you know, speak out as to who would get each individual land. So that is in the realm of Kenyan Isser. So we see that there could be that there is some sort of distinction, even in the division of the land, between what is effectuated through Kenyan Isser and what's effectuated through Kenyan Mamon. So Kenyan Isser, so of course that did take place. And the Kenyan Isser went to Yehuda and Binyamin. And therefore, the Chelek Binyamin has ramifications with respect to exactly how the Mizbeach is going to be built. And the Chelek Yehuda will have ramifications as well. I think Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Yud Aleph talks about how the Iber Hashanah, it's not a monetary matter, the Iber Hashanah has to take place at Da'afka in the Ir Yerushalayim, which is Chelek Yehuda, because it has to be in the realm of Yehuda. So that's a Kenyan Isser ramification. But when it comes to all these other laws about whether a bayis is mitam minigayim, whether you can have an egla rufa, whether Yerushalayim becomes the Nidachas, whether a maskim in batim be Yerushalayim, whether habayis chalupa, which we're going to get to in Yerushalayim. So these are all dine mominous ramifications, and for those purposes, that's where we say that Yerushalayim lo nischalka lishvatim. Now this would have real-life implications, because in the realm of mominous, what did we just say? We said in the realm of mominous, we said that one din of mammon, this is the Gemara in Yuma that, you know, brings this, we also have this in the Gemara in Megillah as well. Interestingly, not in the Gemara in Baba Kama, which speaks about the Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Yerushalayim, we have the idea that Ein Maskim Batim B'Yerushalayim. And what's the reason Ein Maskim Batim B'Yerushalayim? It's not an exeter, it's a pasuk. I don't have a pasuk about Schirus. I don't have a pasuk in the Tanakh. I have a pasuk about Yoni Dachas. I have a pasuk about Tumas Tzarayas and Nigei Batim. I don't have psukim about, you know, Schirus Batim in the Torah. So that's B'Pnei She'ena Shalahem. That's not Xeris HaKosu per se. That's if you look at the Gemara says, yeah, you can't be Maskei Batim because Eina Shalem, because Lemaise, it comes out that Skirus is something that requires ownership. You don't have ownership, you could say you don't have monetary ownership. According to the way the Rav understood it, you could say you don't have ownership because everybody has an equal Zuchus, and therefore you can't designate it specifically for yourself the way that the Chazon Ish understands. You could say you don't have ownership because it was never Chalukah to you the way that the Brisker Rav understands it. But it comes out that there are limitations on the exercise of whatever ownership there is, if even and the possibility that there may not be ownership altogether. So therefore, Rashi says, if you take a look at source Yud Gimel on page 3 over here, where the Gemara Megillah speaks about Emaskim Batim at Yerushalayim. So Rashi said, "Bali Batim is Batim Loli Regolim." That when the Oli Regolim would come to Yerushalayim, you couldn't rent out the homes to them. Bachim Nos Lehem. Rather, what does it mean? You say, I'm sorry, since I can't charge you money, therefore get out? No. It means that everybody has equal rights. You have to let them come inside. Bechidim nosin lehem. Say, okay, you're entitled to it, especially if there's space. I'm not using it. Nechnasin lesolchan. And then whoever can be fit there, presumably, has to be allowed in free of charge. That's the idea. That's the idea. This raises a question a little bit. Is this a din that's circumscribed in time a little bit? We all know people who own apartments in Yerushalayim. Sometimes they even own apartments in Ir Atika, in Yerushalayim. So maybe that means you can't actually rent your homes in Yerushalayim. This is a little bit of a Chosha Mishpah question, but I'm going to relate it, since it's called Elyon, to our conceptual analysis. So don't worry, I'm not straying from the conceptual analysis just yet, okay? So one question in this regard is, maybe it depends. Is it a first-floor apartment? Is it a fifth-floor apartment? First of all, apartments, I could say, okay, that's the karka, so you're directly on the karka, so maybe that shouldn't be rented. Fifth floor, okay, somebody else has the karka, but, you know, this is air rights already. This is, you know, maybe this is already completely binyan. So it's completely binyan, so maybe here it's a little bit easier. Maybe it's not concluded altogether, because it's Gog and Valiyos. So we're speaking about Yerushalayim, so maybe your whole Kedusha of Yerushalayim doesn't include Gog and Valiyos, right? Gog and Valiyos don't need statue. So that's a whole question as well, right? We know that certainly, as far as the Beis Hamikdash is concerned, Gog and Valiyos don't need statue. Gemara Misalkim dot Pei Hei Amud Beis says, with respect to the Rav, quotes the opinion of Rav, that with respect to Achilas Psalkim, you're not Yotze Achilas Psalkim if you're on an upper story because or the roof, because Gog and Valiyos don't need statue, right? So maybe that would also have ramifications with respect to this thing as well. So it's interesting that Tzitz Eliezer was presented with a question with respect to the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, where he says there's a special inyan of living in Yerushalayim because this is the makom that is karov l'shchina. It's of a special, you know, level of closeness. Shar Hashemayim, so that the mitzvah of Yishar Eretz Yisrael is particular. Resonance when it comes to living in Yerushalayim. So somebody was asking, well, maybe if it's an upper apartment, you know, you're like in the 10th floor of the Wolfson Towers, so maybe, you know, that we're, especially if you're in Ir Atika, so maybe, you know, that's a question. I mean, he was asked two things. Does it apply to Yerushalayim Machadasha? And does it apply to the upper story? So we'll get to Yerushalayim Machadasha in just a minute. But with respect to the upper story, so he says, well, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, that's a different Kedusha. That's like a Kedusha that's not dependent on the laws of the applications of Kitchel Shaita, Kitchel Asidavo, that's a law of just the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu. That level of Kedusha in terms of the mitzvah living there, that has nothing to do with the picayune details of whether you could eat the kachim kalim, you know, in the upper stories or not. That, he says, is completely distinct and separate. But he says, number two, he thinks that the halach is not necessarily like Rav. And number three, maybe even if the halach is like Rav, maybe it's only a special din in Korban Pesach. When we say that the Gagin Valiyos of Yerushalayim Aloni Skatchu, maybe when it comes to other dinim, the Gagin Valiyos of Yerushalayim Aloni Skatchu. And number four, he quotes a Raibid in Maseches Tamid, who says that the whole Dion was only with respect to that which existed at the time in which the Azara was Niskatchu, because the Raibid says that whatever was built, whatever Aliyos were built, even in the Azara area, after the Azara had already been Niskadesh, everything it says, Hakol Kodesh, Lavko Kamine, Ayude Binyan, Lav Kia Kedusha Sazara, Shiniskachu, because you have no ability. Once there is a Kedusha Sazara, so anything that's added on afterwards would automatically be subsumed in that Kedusha. And Kain Lepizeh, who had in Kamokain, he says, Gam Binogeli Yushalayim, Kolabatim Valio, Shinim Nilaka, Shiniskachu, Yushalayim, Gam Gakosem, Valio Sam, Lunifkumen, Ayude Kain, Kedusha Yushalayim. And anything that's built nowadays, he said, certainly within the Ir Atika, would automatically be subsumed, would automatically be included within the Kedushas Yerushalayim. But there's another consideration. There's another consideration, and this is based on a Ritva in Makos. The Ritva in Makos asks the question, because the Gemara there implies that within Yerushalayim, you'd be able to eat the Maaser Sheni on the tree branches somehow. And that sounds like Gog and Valiyos. So Tosas gives an answer, maybe it's not a Makom Dal Al Dal. But the Ritva gives a different answer. The Ritva, and therefore it doesn't, you know, occupy like its separate domain. But the Ritva gives a different answer. And he says, no. Mine's the difference, even though Kachim Kalim, you wouldn't be allowed to eat, because we'll assume, like the Shita Rav, that you can't eat Kachim Kalim, that the Aliyos and Gagin of Yerushalayim Aloni Skatchu, that's why you can't eat a Korban Pesach there. So the same would apply to not eating any Kachim Kalim over there. It says, Rav got the Minpek Kates at Salam Psalkim, the Aliyos Gagin Yerushalayim Aloni Skatchu, Bein Okum Sham Psalkim, Lo Kashim, Psalkim and Kachim Kalim, Hu Shech Mimim Bakach, Salam Maiser Akal. It says, I draw a distinction between Kachim Kalim on the one hand and Maiser Sheni on the other hand. The Maiser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, that you could eat the Gagin Aliyos, but you wouldn't be allowed to consume Kachim Kalim, Begog and Valiyos. So what's the distinction? Why are we, you know, splitting the baby in half? What? How do I distinguish between Kachim Kalim and Maaser Sheni, you know, Kachim Kalim on one hand, Maaser Sheni on the other hand? So this is, Moshefter has an essay called Yerushalayim Kiryas Melech Rav, and she says that there are two different dimensions of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has Kiddush in two different ways. One way in which Yerushalayim has Kedusha is as an extension of the Makom HaMikdash. It's the whole deal of the first mission in Kalim, etc. It's an extension of the, most of the dinim there, although Maaser Sheni happens to be included there, but okay, Kasha. But there you have a recitation of things that appear to be an extension of the Makom HaMikdash. So that's one din of Yerushalayim. And with respect to that din, so we say, oh, so then there's a special din with respect to the Beis Hamikdash, Gog and Magog, Lo Nisgach, with respect to the Yazara, and that extends to Yerushalayim with respect to those items that are a part of the din of Yerushalayim that are a manifestation of its extension of the Kedushas Beis Hamikdash, and that would include, obviously, the eating of the Kachim Kalam. The Kachim Kalam is something which is sacrificed at the Beis Hamikdash as an extension of the Kedushas Hamikdash, so that's why that's something in which the Gog and Magog Lo Nisgach with respect to Kachim Kalam. Then there's a second din of Yerushalayim, which is Yerushalayim Ir HaBirah. Yerushalayim, as Donald Trump will tell you, it's the capital, okay? It's the capital of Jerusalem. It's considered to be the most significant city in terms of our sovereignty. And there are various dinim that apply to that sovereignty. Like, for example, where the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, that you're not allowed to be Mamana, you're not allowed to appoint a Melech, and Yerushalayim is not from Malchus based David. So that's a din in Yerushalayim being Ir HaBirah. Actually, and the same thing is applicable to Ma'aseh Sheni. There's no din of Ma'aseh Sheni that connects Ma'aseh Sheni to Beis HaMikdash. No! Ma'aseh Sheni is about bringing the Ma'aseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, bringing Yerushalayim. Nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It's to do with the special status of Yerushalayim. So you could say that's a din of Yerushalayim being Ir HaBirah. So with respect to Yerushalayim being Ir HaBirah, so that has nothing to do with the laws of Gog and Magog, Lo Nisgach, relates to the Azara and Yerushalayim as an extension of that Azara area of the Beis HaMikdash. That is no Yerushalayim per se. With respect to that din of Yerushalayim, Gog and Magog would be included as well. And he relates this to the whole question about whether you would be allowed to be Malin Mace for Yerushalayim, which is also one of the dinim of Yerushalayim that's brought in this brisa in Bava Kamma about the Asara Dharma Nemu of Yerushalayim, that, you know, let's say you weren't keeping the mace on ground level in the Chevah Kadisha or whatever, you were keeping it in some apartment building on the 10th floor, so would you be over in that or not? It's a different shitos, you say, might depend. Is the dinim of Malin Mace for Yerushalayim an extension of the Kedushas HaMikdash, in which case Gog and Magog Lo Nisgach, or is it an extension of the Yerushalayim as an Ir HaBirah, in which case the Gog and Magog Lo Nisgach, and therefore would be included. Yes?
Isn't it, does the Gemara say that it's Halachah in Sinai? Like if we have like, if we have like some sort of tradition that we don't, we're not Malin Mace, but we don't actually know why that was?
It's a Kabbalah, okay.
I'm saying, we don't have a, okay,
so the question is that we have a Kabbalah, that this is an extension of the Dine Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, or Kabbalah, this is a din of Yerushalayim. Either way, it was a Kabbalah, that it was some sort of a din. So which area did we have that Kabbalah in? So you can ask the same question. It's a good question, but I think that's the way you can answer it. So he happens to mention, and I took the liberty of discussing this with Rav Shefty yesterday. I thought it would be a silly question, but I should answer it. Ask it anyway. He mentions in a footnote over there, he says, there's been a big question about whether the United States should transfer its embassy to Yerushalayim. So some say that maybe this will be a problem, because since the prime minister and the government of Israel is currently constituted, does not specifically appoint somebody from Malchus based of it. So once you would officially have Yerushalayim recognized as the Ir HaBirah, so then you'd be open that Isser. So he says, so some say that you shouldn't be so quick to endorse moving the embassy over there and having it recognized as the capital for that reason. But he says that those who feel that it is okay feel, it's not really functioning as a malchus per se. It's functioning as a democracy. Since it's functioning as a democracy, therefore it doesn't really matter that the prime minister is not from malchus based on it, even if you're going to have the capital over there. So I took the liberty of asking Moshechter the question yesterday, saying, I noticed this footnote in this article that you wrote, and it occurred to me that when the New York Times full-page ad came out after the election of President Trump, of all the rabbis who were encouraging him to fulfill his promise to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, you were one of the signatories. So does that mean that you were machriya, like the second Saad, that really is just Judaism and democracy, and therefore this wouldn't be a problem? So he said, no, I wasn't really machriya. So I said, in which case, how come your name was on the pronouncements? He said, politics is politics. Okay, so that's the answer. Anyway, moving on. A similar chakira could be potentially applied to the question of Emas Kiven Batim B'Yerushalayim. Do we say Emas Kiven Batim B'Yerushalayim is a din of the Hemshek of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, in which case it would potentially not be applicable to Gog and Magog? So do we say no? That it's really a function of the Kedushas Yerushalayim as Ir HaBirah, in which case it would be applicable to Gog and Magog. So this may depend on when the din applies. If you look to that self-same Rashi in Megillah Daf Kofav, which is Source 13, Yud Gimel, in our material, so what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Emaskirin, Bale Batim Es Batehem, La'ole Regalim, Ela Bechinam, Nosnim Lahen, Bidek Nosin, L'Sokon. So Rashi says that it is a specific din with respect to the Olei V'Golim. When people would come up to the Beis HaMikdash and they would be the Olei V'Golim for the three V'Golim, so at that point in time, you were not allowed to be maskir your bias. You would have to allow them to come in for free. Mashma from Rashi, that is only a din during the time of the V'Golim, when everyone would come to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, in terms of specifically going up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one obvious question Rashi is, that if I have this din of Ein Maskirim Batim Yerushalayim, so just like the din of Tumas Negeit Batim, it's not restricted to Shas HaRegel, just like the din of Ein Mabin Egel Arufa of Yerushalayim, it's not restricted to Shas HaRegel, just like the din of Ein Osin Yerushalayim Yoni Dak, it's not restricted to Shas HaRegel, so why in the world would this then be restricted to the Shas HaRegel? So the answer may very well be, look at the way the Rambam codifies these various dinim. The way the Rambam codifies these various dinim, he has, yeah, I have my Yerushalayim Lonis Kalkul Shvatim dinim, which are based on the Xeris HaKasim, and those are at the end of my halacha. He lumps them all together. At the end of Perek Zayin Halacha Yudalad, he says, with respect to the din of Emaskim and Batim, no, that doesn't appear anywhere near the bottom. That's at the very beginning of the halacha. He's talking about various Adim, Abim, Masocha, Atzmos, Adim. That has nothing to do with Yishalim, Yishalim, Yishalim. Oh, and by the way, also, Emaskim and Masocha, Batim. And we're not Maskim and Batim. So why doesn't he lump this halacha together with all the other halachas if they're all based, as the Gemara indicates, on the principle of Yishalim, Yishalim, Yishalim? Because, I would submit, the other halakhas are axioms, called postulates, okay? Meaning that they're based on Xeris HaKasu, they're not negotiable. When it comes to Amos Kim Batim Yishlayim, that's not an axiom or postulate, it's a corollary. It's a corollary. The Fisha Eina Shalahed, it's the Lashon of the Gemara. It comes out that once I have this principle of Yishlayim Lonis Kalka Lishvatim, and therefore there are certain rules that are going to be applied across the board when it comes to certain halakhas based on Xeris HaKasu, it's just something that requires an Ahuza, and Yishlayim is not an Ahuza. So, based on this Lafish Shana Shalahem, it's also going to have hashlachos in other areas. But the hashlachos in the area of Emaskim and Batim may not be absolute. Why may not be absolute? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman points out. He gives you a very, you know, simple explanation as to why this might not be absolute. This is in the Kovetz Hashirim, Baba Kama, Os Sadihei. He says, Vaha, the Emaskim and Batim Yerushalayim, Lafish Shana Shalahem. And that's the lashon, the she'en and shalahen. It's like one step removed. As I said, it's a corollary to the principle. It's not the axiom itself. So the chayra kasha, to hamikom makam, it's in the bottom in shalom. We be able to rent out, you know, the stones and the wood that you yourself put into the binyan of your place. That's not the karka of Yerushalayim per se. Even Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, it's not clear that we would necessarily paskin like him. It's maybe, you know, he holds that mitos have a special din that they're considered to be like an extension of the cock. You don't really move the mitos, but even he would agree that pots and pans presumably could be rented out. So Eitzim Vavonim, why can't the Eitzim Vavonim as well be rented out? You call the cock Skar HaDiva. Why not be able to take the Skar HaDiva? Okay, so you're not taking the Skar HaKarka. Well, most people are not interested in just sleeping on the karka. They like to have a binyan as well. So the binyan, maybe you should be able to take some credit for it, be able to be paid for. So then he quotes Rashi. This is what Rashi means. He says, Afar Pivish Rashi, they note in Skam Eilu Begolim, the Hainu, that Rashi only says you don't take the skar from the Eilu Begolim. Why did Rashi say you never allowed to take skar? He says, because really you could take skar. No problem. Take the skar from the Eitzim Avodim. The rest of the year, you can take the sky for the Eitzim Avodim. This is not an absolute principle. You can take the sky for the Eitzim Avodim the rest of the year. This is a special takana. It was made Tfi She'ena Shalahen. We make a special takana when it comes to Olei V'Golim. Behind the Kimin the Karka Shayek L'Kol Yisrael. Since the Karka, after all, is Shayek to everybody. Ve'aliyah L'Regel Hitzorek Shekol Yisrael. And the notion of Aliyah L'Regel is a Tzorek for everybody. Lonin Arishus Livnos. Rak amenash lo lekabel skar diva may only be golem. So therefore, the right that you have to build, and yes, you could collect rent the rest of the year, but there is like a special takonis. It's like we have takonis amnaskin hikla Yoshua of Yisrael Saaretz. So it's one of the takonis is that you have to give a special dispensation based on this overall nature of Yerushalayim belonging to everybody. And yes, it's true, the Eitzim Avonim belong to you, really you could charge rent for it. However, because of this special nature and character of Yerushalayim, we make a Tekana B'Shas HaRegel. Specifically, during the Shas HaRegel, we're going to make this Tekana to require that you not charge rent dafka during this period. So this might indicate, according to what we've been discussing, this approach of Rashi might indicate the way Rashi is viewing this specific din of Ein Maskirim Batim Yerushalayim, is that it really is an application of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. That we're saying, we wouldn't really apply this most of the year. we're going to apply it specifically during the regalim, for the Yoli regalim, who are there in order to bring their kabanos to the Beis HaMikdash, because of the special nature of Yerushalayim. And with respect to this din, this really is an outgrowth of the special nature of the Beis HaMikdash, that we want everybody to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel and have equal access to Yerushalayim for purposes of fulfilling that mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you understand it that way, so it could be this whole din, number one, is only restricted to the Shas HaRegel. So you could say, nowadays, it's not applicable anyway, because we don't have a Shas HaRegel, you know, unless you say there's some Zechel, a mitzvah, Saliyah L'Regel, nowadays, like the Tashbetz writes, you know, so, you know, maybe you can have a little bit of a discussion about that. But even if you would say that, it still would be an outgrowth of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, in which case, so maybe there might be room to distinguish between first floor apartments and apartments that are higher up. Now, this is Mashi Enkin, according to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish has no discussion here when he discusses Emaskim and Batim B'Yerushalayim as an application of this din of Yerushalayim L'Nisqaq L'Shvatim. As he says, Ma'adam Alon Nisqaq Ahayinu Shenisha Skutz L'Kho Yisrael U'Kedetanya She'Emaskim Lehem Batim, says the Chazon Ish. Doesn't say this is specifically a din of Shas HaRegel. There isn't no distinction Eitzim Avadim, not Eitzim Avadim, no. The whole area, there's a zechus of Kol Yisrael to be able to enjoy the entire area. Therefore, Pipashtus, the way that he's learning, it would be applicable the entire year, and it would be presumably not specifically a din related to Aliyah L'Regel. If it's not specifically related to Aliyah L'Regel, I can understand more readily that it's really an extension of Kedushas Yerushalayim, of the special nature of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Nizkak L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim Kir Shkuba L'Yachdav, Yerushalayim belongs to everybody, and therefore, maybe then there'll be more of an argument to extend it to Gog and Magog as well. Yes?
The chakira that you first raised between Kedushas that stand from Kedushas HaMikdash, Kedushas that stand from Sazer Shadar of the Yerushalayim is a question about positive dinim that exists in Yerushalayim. The dinim of Yerushalayim Nizkak L'Shvatim is a negative dinim. It means that it was never Nizchaka in the first place. It doesn't matter what the Kedusha then occurred after Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was Nizchaka L'Shvatim. So the application of where it will be, Gagim Aliyos versus Karka, shouldn't hinge on that Chakir at all.
I don't know. Meaning that it could be that it's phrased in a negative way, but it really is a very positive notion. If you understand that it's a notion of a sechus with the Chol Yisrael B'Yerushalayim, it's a notion of there being a special sechus that everybody has B'Yerushalayim, I would think that on some level that is a very positive din.
I don't care about the word positive or negative.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mechus HaDavar, no one is Chakul HaShvatim. So, whatever Chakul HaShvatim, there's no dinim amudus here, or there's a restriction on the batim here, whatever that would be. But that won't then hinge on how kedusha applies.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I would say that per se. I would say that it's subject to it's something. It's a special quality regarding Yerushalayim. You don't want to use the term. I don't know. It's an absence of a quality can also be a quality.
No, but you can't stand from kedusha.
Yeah.
You can't clarify. I'm missing.
I don't know that the same way that the Gemara in Yuma, you know, talks about the whole discussion of Mitame Negayim and Mitame Negayim about, you know, whether Maka, we're dealing with Maka Mikdash, we're dealing with, you know, Maka Mikdash. I think there's a tie-in as well. I mean, I hear the point. I hear the point, but I'm not convinced. I don't. All right, so a second possible application of this would be with respect to Yerushalayim HaChadashah. I'll just, you know, tie this in as a possibility. Do these dinim apply to Yerushalayim HaChadashah or not? When we speak about, you know, all of these different ideas, some of them, like Emaskim Batim, which relate to Yerushalayim HaChadashah L'Shvatim, so a similar, you know, question. How far do we extend these rules? So the Radbaz, interestingly, in a tshuva, in Chedek Beis Siman Tov Reish Lamed Gimel, said that he thought that this din should apply. He refers specifically to the din of Emaskim Batim Yerushalayim and Emas Shiva Misalcha Girtoshem. He says he thinks that those dinim, that there are certain dinim that are rattled off that would apply to Yerushalayim HaChadashah. He says, why not? The Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very interesting statement that he makes that's worth reading. I quoted it, and I think I put the excerpt. He says like this. He says, Yerushalayim HaMekudeshes, V'gam Shonu V'havi Alokas V'kol Eretz HaKadoshah, Hirak Yerushalayim HaTikah. When we refer to Yerushalayim, it means only Yerushalayim HaTikah, within the walled city, Ashilat Tzareinu Gadol, Tzarei Moshlimba, etc. V'chol Mashim Chutz L'chol Marak Mikra B'Yishem Yerushalayim. Anything outside of the wall is just called Hashem Yerushalayim. Meaning, Siva Hashem Yer, but give them Shtaros Kedoyma. Right, what do I get? So you write Yerushalayim, because, okay, it means. And there's a special, about Ainzu Yerushalayim, it's not really Yerushalayim. Gamdin Kriya Samigila, that's a whole big, you know, fight, you know, Yechiel Mikhail Tuchinsky restricted, you know, the Malkum, that you extend Yerushalayim for these purposes. Others say, nah, whatever we call Yerushalayim, we're going to read Megillah on the 15th day. Gamdin Kriya Samigillah, Tali Rak, with Samach, with Nira Yerushalayim. So he says, yeah, I understand you could extend it, you know, somewhat. But he says, but with respect to all the other dinim, of course, with respect to the other dinim, we're only going to deal with Yerushalayim Iratika. It's a very interesting statement by the Tzitz Eliezer, also in this regard, from the very same tshuva that we read from before regarding the Gagan of Aliyos. And he says that he's not entirely benosa l'chol ha'amor, gam hagam lo baror, ha'heichan higiyu agbulos ha'shi Yerushalayim iskacha. He says, I don't, how do you know exactly where the walls really end? So he says, you can't be so confident about exactly where to draw the line. But we could potentially say that maybe this should depend on the same idea, that maybe if we understand that it's a din of Yerushalayim, per se, so it's a din of Yerushalayim, so then, as being the Ir Habira, so you can extend that without all of the niceties of Kedusha. Where do we find a precedent for that? We find in the Gemara and Shavuos, on Tessayin and Aleph, based on the Tosefta and Sanhedrin, about how there was Shnei Bitzin, Ayub, Harha Mishka, that there were two different districts that were born over there. There was a Tachtona, there was an Elyona. The Tachtona was endowed with Kedusha, the Elyona was not endowed with Kedusha, so why did they add Yerushalayim? It wasn't endowed with Kedusha, they didn't have the Toda and the, you know, and the whole fanfare and the whole ceremony with respect to the Nechatzotzos, etc. So why did they, you know, include that in Yerushalayim if it wasn't going to be Niskacha? If Nei Shetorpa Yerushalayim, that it was the main place or an essential place where the enemies who wanted to battle against Yerushalayim would have been able to encroach upon the integrity of Yerushalayim, and therefore they endowed it with the name Yerushalayim, even though not with the kedusha of Yerushalayim. So Shachter asks in his essay, so what was the point of that? So he says the point was to make it part of the Yer HaBirah, so the Chayalim, the soldiers, would extend themselves, be Mosin Nefesh more, because they know that this is part of the Yer HaBirah that they're protecting. So if I understand again that this is a din of Yerushalayim as Yer HaBirah, so if I understand this is a din of Yerushalayim as Yer HaBirah, so then there'll be more of an argument to extend it to Yerushalayim HaChadashah. And if I understand that it's a din of Yerushalayim as an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, so it would be more of an argument to restrict it to arguably the Ir Ha'atika. Okay? You can certainly argue with that one much more easily. Now, the next one, with respect to continuation of our discussion, very interesting Ma'ariv Korkus. So Ma'ariv Korkus, this is part of the Perush on the Rambam. It's a little bit harder to find, but you take out like a full Ma'ariv Korkus from the library, you'll find it. So Ma'ariv Korkus, you won't find this on the Bar-Ilan Sidurim, so I wasn't able to cut and paste this easily, but it is there. So Ma'ariv Korkus has the following explanation. He asked the question, how was it in his day that people were renting out homes in Yerushalayim? How was it they were able to rent out homes in Yerushalayim? Even in Iratika, how were people renting out homes in Yerushalayim? So he quotes one answer is the Rashi. You say, oh, maybe it was only a din of B'shas HaRegel, when people were bringing korbanos. But then he brings another very fascinating argument. He says, maybe it's only usher when there would be no hefsed. In other words, a person is not allowed to profiteer. The idea of any schachal Yerushalayim Shvatim means that no particular person or shev is allowed to profiteer from Yerushalayim. But if a person anyway had to pay the Arabs for their home, or they had to, you know, invest a large amount of money because it wasn't like it's something that they just received from their fathers, they had to, and it wasn't something that they received from hefker, it was something that, you know, they had to pay the whoever happened to be the occupying nation at the time, that they had to put in, you know, serious money. So he says that there's no obligation to incur a hefsek. And that was the idea of, you know, charging for the mitos if you didn't hold like Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Tzadok, or taking the always kachim if you did hold like him, is that nobody was obligated to incur a hefsek. So therefore he says that Bizman Hazeh, since everybody had to pay good money for whatever they have in Yerushalayim, so they're allowed to charge in order to just be able to recoup their investment. This makes the most sense, according to the Chazon Ish,
who says that fundamentally it's a tzchus that everybody has, but there is a kinyan aguf, there is a mamonos that applies to, you know, those who are in Yerushalayim, originally to Yehudim and Yamin. So there's an essay, very interesting, you know, Yitzchak Silverstein, Shlita has lots of very interesting articles and essays. So he published an essay, I think I have it, also in the Maror Mekomos, at least just the Maror Mekom. It's an article that appears, where does it appear? Hold on. Yudalit, okay, thank you very much. Marashar Yitzchak Zilberstein, Yakon Kol HaTorah, Chuveres Mem Zayin, and the title is called Demeskis, Batim Yerushalayim is Manazeh, an actual case. I mean, I'll take his word for it. It was an actual case. He said somebody rented an apartment space from someone in Yerushalayim, and they stayed there for a period of time, and then it came a couple of weeks later, time to leave, and they said, and the landlord asked for the rent, said, I'm not paying you any rent. Hey, ain't must give back to Yerushalayim. See you later. So the question was the landlord entitled to rent or not? So he quoted the Rashi. He says, well, according to Rashi, it wasn't, you know, Leah Laregel, so he'd be entitled to rent. But he says, you know, if you don't like Rashi, let's say, oh, let's assume the person's going to say Kimli, like, you know, like the Chazunish or whatever, that maybe it's the din of the entire year. So he says, but then you can rely on the Marie Corcus. It says, if the person invested money, they have to pay good money. They're paying a mortgage on the land, so then they don't have to incur a loss that they have to give it up and not get the benefit of their bargain, and they're entitled to some money to be able to pay for their mortgage payments and all that. But he says, if indeed the person just took this area, it happened to be a home in Eir Atika, says if the person just happened to assume this this residence based on taking it from Hefker because the Arabs ran away or something like that. So he says, in fact, they shouldn't be allowed to pay to charge rent. I was thinking, let's say it's a young couple and they received it as, like, you know, a chassid gift from, you know, the in-laws or whatever. So maybe you can apply a similar argument, unless you say, no, that's because otherwise they're going to, you know, go to the in-laws for other expenses. So maybe this is, you know, part of what the in-laws need to be able to make back in order for them not to be a hefsid. But there's a he kind of like actually concludes along those lines. Says, well, if there's a hefsay they can charge. If there's no hefsay, maybe they can't charge. Very, very interesting article. But there's a larger looming issue, and that is, as we all know from the popular song, this is probably before your time, Yerushalayim is not for sale. So one of the ramifications of Yerushalayim when it's called the Shvatim, according to the Gemara in Baba Kama, is Ein Habayis Chalupa. Ein Habayis Chalupa. Now, what does that mean, Ein Habayis Chalupa? It would seem to follow very logically that if you're not able to rent land in Yerushalayim, then you also should not be able to buy land, and you shouldn't be able to sell land. So in a bayis chalupa, how do we understand that halacha? So the truth is that the way that the Yad Rama, that the Rama understands that halacha, quoted in the Shita Mikubetzit on the Gemara in Baba Kama, so the Rama understands that that's what it really means. In a bayis chalupa means that you actually have no ability to buy or sell altogether in Yerushalayim. Let's read it over here. The Rama quoted in the Shita Mikubetzit, that source Yud Tes. You can't sell it. Because it says that you have to be able to sell something permanently, and you can't sell permanently if it doesn't belong to you. It's an axiom. So that's how he understands Pasha Pasha. But that's not the way it's generally understood. The way it's generally understood is like Rashi. Rashi says, anybody skupa, of course you can sell. You can sell anybody skupa. It means that normally the seller only has the right of redemption up until 1 year. But here, it's the right of redemption even after that 1 year period has expired. He can still redeem it. So how do you have the ability to sign it, to sell it altogether? So we could say that Rashi is l'shitaso. That there are certain rights that the person has. If you look, like, even at the Lashon of the Avos Rabbi Nasan, that a person would have rights. That is, Lemalo, what does it say? In Mokwin Ba Mabatim, this is Masekhus Tanas, Masekhus in Avos Rabbi Nasan, Parak Laman Hey, In Mokwin Mabatim, Elim Na Karkos Lemalo. That is like Rabbi Chodom Wasserman indicated, you can sell Mina Karkos Lemalo. So therefore, a sale would be possible, you know, along those lines. And that there's only a certain limitation, you know, with respect to what you're allowed to do, b'shasa regel. So we could say Rashi is perfectly l'shitaso. It's a very, very interesting explanation along these lines that it distinguishes between mechira on the one hand and schiris on the other hand. I found this absolutely riveting from the Chasdei David, David Pardo, his parish. On the Tosefta, it's a wonderful parish on the Tosefta, and it says a lot of interesting things about the sugya in general. I'm just quoting this one. This is on the Tosefta in Negaim, and I have a quote here from the Chasdei David, in which he elaborates upon this this idea. Hold on 1 second. Okay. He says that, look, if you look at the excerpt from Avos Rabinos, it says, "Eimachmin b'batim elamina karkos ulamala." That it can't be a permanent sale. You have the right of redemption even after 12 months. So the Chasdei David says like this, that the Ikar HaBayis is not sold. What do you sell? You sell the binyan that you struggled over, that you yourself put your sweat and tears and guts into. It is in fact his kinyan. So if that's the case, so why is it that we limit your ability to be maskir? And he does not only limit it to the Aliyah L'Regel, he says something very, very fascinating about the spirit of Yerushalayim. And this is an incredible idea. The mistama srikan liskar hein orkim ha'olam liYerushalayim. Who are the people who want to rent it? Hey, you're buying it, so people are going to use it for all their personal purposes. To live life, so fine. But the people who are going up to rent, so those are the visitors, ha'olam liYerushalayim, but they're just coming up for a small period, a short period of time. Even if it's not the regular, they're coming to do a mitzvah. They're coming to learn for a week or two in the mirror. They're coming to learn in yeshiva. They're coming to do mitzvahs at Lias Baretz. Okay, it's my base of mikdash, but it could be any mitzvah. And it's not proper to take a skar for just a few days when people are there. They're just there to do a mitzvah. The mistama ain't showing sham harbe. They're not going to stay there that long. But we have so a kaka shekoy yiswahu. So at the end of the day, the kaka shekoy yiswahu said, give them a break. About the bala duah sham ain't no base diva, but somebody's coming to live permanently, long term, you call them bali batim, limko lo meyakako lamala. So then, yes, it would be perfectly fine to sell them meyakako lamala. Haino adira, avalola chalutin. But because of the Xeris Akasa Litzmisus, and it's not anybody's Afuza, so you couldn't sell because that would really be including the Karka. Well, the Chalutin, the Nimsa Kimoka Karka, because then it would be like you would be Moka the Karka, Vein Lo Balim, and the Karka doesn't really have Balim. Fascinating idea from the Chasdei David. It would come out, by the way, that if a person had an apartment within whatever would be my dear, it's usually nowadays, if we wouldn't be relying on the head there that emerges from Rashi of Shasa Regel, and you know that it's only a law that it applies to Aliyah L'Regel. So it come out that actually a long-term rental would be much more permissible than a short-term rental. You have an apartment in Yerushalayim, and you're only like you're renting it out in a special high rate for those who are coming specifically for the regalim. Not so posh, according to the Chasdei David. You're renting it out like for a two-year period to somebody. Okay, so that's more understandable. That's more similar to a mechira, like a mechira that's not litzmisus. So also very, very fascinating understanding of what this din, this corollary din, as I call it, of Ein Maskir Batim B'Yerushalayim is really all about. There's, interestingly, it's not in the Maror Makomos, but there is a stipler along very similar lines that I just give as a Maror Makom in Shvius Simon Beis, in which he also expands upon this idea, in which he also explains the distinction on the one hand between the idea that you can be mocher, the bias, but you can't be masking the bias, because skirus is the miyachid, the bias for very exclusive use. And the idea of Ein Maskir Batim Yerushalayim means that there's no exclusivity with respect to the use, along the lines of what the Chazon Ish says, it's exclusive, called, Beis Yisrael, that all Bnei Yisrael have the right of usage, of usufruct, with respect to the property. So therefore, you cannot exclusively designate it for a particular person. That's what skiris is all about. But mechira, I'm just selling to you whatever rights I have. The rights that I have is that I can own land, but I have to, I can own the building, whatever, or even the land. But I have to allow, if you understand the Chazon Ish, but I have to allow everybody to come in and use it. So if you're prepared to take the bias under the same terms that everybody has to have the right to use it, so fine, I could sell it to you. But skiris implies, no, I'm designating it specifically for you. So he explains that's the reason why we have this distinction between the right to sell, assuming not like the Ramah, assuming like Rashi's understanding, while at the same time we would say, Emaskirin batim b'Yerushalayim. So I just conclude with a hashkafic thought that we can understand also on a metaphysical level the idea of Yerushalayim Niskal B'Lishvatim based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Ki'ir Shechuva Lo Yachtav, that it's an ear, She'osek Kol Yisrael Chaveirim. that this idea of osikli yisol chaverim means that we view everybody with a sense of equality and equalization when it comes to sharing in terms of Yerushalayim. And that has a special resonance, as Rashi writes, with respect to the Shas HaRegel, because you'll recall that when is it that everybody becomes chaverim zeh lezeh? So the famous explanation of the Maariv Tzchias, Maseches Nida, he says that it's because b'shas haregel, so everybody is metaring themselves, and you could even trust the people who are normally the Ami Haaretz that wouldn't have the status of chaver, but during this time, everybody's considered to be chaverim. Everybody can eat in each other's homes, right? That's the specific way the Maariv Tzchias puts it. The idea is that everybody shares the homes because there is no segregation, and there is no demarcation between those whose homes you could eat in and those whose homes you can't eat in, because everybody kind of is melded together in terms of being on a high level of observance. It is like the Rishonim says elsewhere in Baba Kama, an ear shemechaberes Yisrael zeh lazeh, an ear that unites and it binds together. It bonds together all of Yisrael zeh lazeh. So maybe this is also part of the hashkafic idea that's being conveyed in terms of just the halacha. As we pass like the Chachamim, that Yerushalayim lo niskal kol shvatim. So we should all be zolke to reach this state of Chaverim Kol Yisrael, and to be able to go up to Yerushalayim for Pesach, to be able to eat our Korban Pesach, Kedusha, Betara, together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Simcha Rabbi Yemenu, Amen. Okay.
Next week we have... Thank you very much.
Yeah.